The recorder is on. And we are going to look at how to awaken from the dream. Page 53. It's a fairly long message, but we'll see how we do. Today, I would like to talk to you about expectations and imagination and help you to see that expectations are imagination. So you may choose to relinquish all expectations as mere foolishness. And before we go into the rest of this message, I will just say that that first paragraph is a gem. You know that, yeah. We could just let go of all expectations of everyone else and of the day and what's supposed to happen today and what's supposed to happen on our vacation and just be, we'd be so much happier.
I know, and we're noticing that a lot with Danielle's house that's being built right now. All we have to do is look at the binoculars, take the binoculars and see what's going on. Shoot, they didn't do the roof today. Shoot, they should have done, you know, we're hoping that they would cement the garage floor. And we have all this expectation,
yeah.
you know, I can see that. It's hard to break that habit.
Yeah, you take the expectations out and you're just happy. Imagine that. All right, so the second paragraph. I have already told you that I cannot tell you of your true self. I cannot. And yet you want to continue to speak of the true self and talk about what the self is. You want to say that you know when someone is truly abiding in self and when he is not. You want to speak of your experiences with self and say, I have some taste of the experience of self. But I would ask you to stop and look at this discussion of self. And this asking about self, and this sharing of what I know about self, and ask, who is the I that is thinking about self, making decisions about self, and agreeing or disagreeing on what self is? Kind of interesting, actually, because on Sunday nights I teach a class, or not really a class, just I teach, period. I teach something called the 7 Steps to Awakening. And this last Sunday night, for a whole hour, I talked about letting go of our expectations of what truth is, or expectations of what enlightenment is, or expectations of how an enlightened person should act. And that's really what this paragraph is saying. Apparently, during this time in my life, I was one of those people. You know, I thought I knew what enlightenment looked like, and I thought I knew how an enlightened person should act, and I like to talk about what I knew. And Inner Ramana is, you know, saying all of these expectations that you have about enlightenment are imagination. None of them are true. And that's just what I taught on Sunday night, so it's a repeat for me this week. We have already seen that attachment to mind is the obstacle that blocks the realization of self. Now we must continue to look at how you are attached to mind. And in fact, on Sunday night, that's one of the things I pointed out, is that if we believe that my concepts about enlightenment are true, therefore I know what enlightenment is, I know what enlightenment should look like, I know what you should act like if you're enlightened, right? I know who is enlightened and who isn't enlightened. If I'm believing all of that, what I'm really doing is believing I'm the mind. Because, I mean, who is saying all that stuff? It's the mind. And I'm believing I'm the mind. And that's exactly the same point that's being made here. We have already seen that attachment to mind is the obstacle that blocks the realization of self. Now we must continue to look at how you are attached to mind. Questioning about self, discussion about self, and I experiences with self all continue the attachment to mind, which means that although they seem to be sincere seeking of self, they are holding onto the identity that blocks your knowledge of self. All right, so I had a question for the inner teacher. I am watching my mind now. I do not remember ever feeling such a strong desire to think while riding with the inner teacher. My mind wants to think about when I talk about self as the attachment to mind, and when my talking is inspired by you, so there is no attachment. I want to think about when my talk is okay and not okay, and I imagine people accusing me of going against your instructions, and I am preparing my defense. All this is happening in my mind right now. As I do all of this, I feel a busyness filling the head and a sense of confusion and a fading away of your voice. And so I recognize that I have identified with mind. What do you have to say to me? So one talent, I don't know what else to call it, one talent that I have, and the reason I call it a talent is because I didn't have to learn it. Is that when I teach, I don't think. The teaching just happens, right? And so when I teach, the speaking that happens isn't really coming from me. And so what I was looking at here, what was now getting confused in my mind was, this sounds so silly, but whatever. Here's what was happening. I knew that when I teach and there's speaking about self that happens, that that's the self speaking. That wasn't me. But now I'm worried, wait a minute, here I am writing down that we're not supposed to, that I'm not supposed to discuss self, yet I know that someday when I'm teaching, this talking is going to happen about self. I'm afraid that people are going to say, wait a minute, Gina, and start judging you. You're not supposed to talk about self. I'm worried now that even when it's not actually coming from me, it's just happening as I teach, that I'm going to be judged by my peers, and I'm getting all scared. I'm getting all nervous, like now I won't even be able to allow the inspiration to come through. I'm going to start judging the inspiration. Oh, no, that's talk about self. And as I'm thinking about all of this, I'm getting all tied up into knots. And what's really important, notice as I'm getting all tied up into knots, the inner teacher's voice is fading for me. You know, it was loud and clear, and now it's getting weaker because the thinking is getting louder. So I asked, what do you have to say to me? And I don't remember this moment real specifically. I kind of remember it generally, that I really had to focus on wanting to hear what was going to be said next so that I could tune back into the inner voice instead of staying stuck in that realm of thinking that started up. So here's the answer. As you set the purpose of letting go of attachment to mind, you can expect, oh yay, this goes to what I said before we turned on the recorder, you can expect to become more aware of that attachment. It may seem that you have more attachment than before, or that you are experiencing resistance, but in truth you are only noticing what you need to see if you are to break the attachment to mind and return to the recognition of self. So before we turn on the recorder, I told the people that are here with me that one thing I've been experiencing lately is a really loud mind. And it's kind of funny because it's a very benign mind. I said my mind is not judging, you know, it's not doing anything, it's just chattering. You know, like if I'm in the kitchen, it's like, oh, I think I need a bowl. Let's see, where are the bowls? The bowls are up there. Which bowl should I get? Oh, I think I need this bowl. And it's just, you know, it's not saying anything. It's just constantly chattering. And I was telling them that it seems louder now than it's ever been. It's like I'm living with this very loud, loud, meaningless noise. And I said, I hope that's, you know, I hope that's really good. You know, the fact that it seems louder than ever. Even when I had this, you know, very judgmental, very fearful mind, that mind didn't seem as loud to me then as this mind does to me now. Well, this says that as you set the purpose of letting go of attachment to mind, you can expect to become more aware of that attachment. So it may start to seem a lot louder. You may, depending on the phase you are at, you may notice yourself judging more than ever before. Right?
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. You may notice yourself judging yourself more than ever before. You may start to notice yourself worrying more than ever before. Or in my case, just notice this meaningless chatter that isn't really saying anything, but it's constantly there, noticing it more than anything ever before. As you are setting the intention of letting go of judgment, of worry, of mind in general, what happens is it seems to get worse. And that is good news. As you set the purpose of letting go of attachment to mind, you can expect to become more aware of that attachment. It may seem that you have more attachment than before, or that you are experiencing resistance, but in truth, you are only noticing what you need to see if you are to break the attachment to mind and return to the recognition of self. Now again, when I was writing this, I was having a lot of trouble listening because I had let my mind get wound up while scribing. And this for me was very rare. I was also a very good scribe naturally. I was able to stop thinking and listen and write very naturally. So to have such a loud mind while scribing was very unusual for me. But I was having a really hard time. And that's why this next sentence says, it is okay that we go about this slowly. Because I was writing the words very slowly because I was having trouble letting them come through. So it is okay that we go about this slowly. I am willing to talk slowly and take long breaks between points so you can continually break the attachment to mind and return your focus to me. So this is what was literally happening at that moment. But I think this applies to us at any time when there's a lot of chatter, you know. It's okay that the inner teacher is saying, I am willing to talk slowly and take long breaks between points. So you, here's what you have to do, so you can continually break the attachment to mind and return your focus to me. So what this means is during times of a lot of mental chatter, we just want to keep breaking that attachment. You know, we can do it with the self-inquiry, we can do it with the mantra, but we want to continue to break that attachment and then return our attention to within. You know, what would you have me do now is the question that we use to go back to the surrender and just keep doing it. And what the inner teacher is saying is, that's okay, right? I think that our ego mind would not tell us that was okay. Our ego mind would say that we're big fat losers, yeah. Right? But the inner teacher says, that's okay. I am willing to talk slowly and take long breaks between points. Right, I'm willing to do it this way with you so that you can continually break that attachment to mind. Identity with who you are will be helpful to this process. Every time you break the identification with mind, you automatically identify with who you are, which will seem to be no thought about identity. When your identification is in this place, your attention is on me, and you can hear me clearly. This is really an interesting point, is that when we are being our true self, we're not thinking about me. If we're thinking about me, then we are not being our true self. And, you know, sometimes we get lost in a task that we're performing. Or if we're an artist or a piano player, we get lost in our art. Or when I teach, I said, that's natural for me. That's a natural talent. When I teach, even if I speak about me, because that's what's coming through, I'm not thinking about me. That thinking is not happening. So there are all kinds of things for some people when they cook, some people when they garden, some people when they bike ride, some people when they jog. Everybody has the opportunity just in everyday life, even if they aren't on the spiritual path, to be so into the moment that they aren't thinking about me. And in that moment, they are abiding as the self. But as soon as they stop jogging, if that's what they do, and they go back to, oh my God, look how late I am, I'm going to blah, 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 right? then you're not abiding as the self. So what this means is abiding as the self is actually natural. We all slip into it at some point, right? You may slip into it when you're biting into a really juicy peach, and just for a few moments, you're just really being there with the flavor of the peach, and there's no chatter going on in the mind in that moment. You're just you and the peach, you know, and you're not even thinking me and peach, right? It's just this experience, just this moment. In the movie The Peaceful Warrior, Dan Millman comes up to his teacher Socrates, and he was supposed to meet Socrates in the park for a teaching, but instead he wants to go to the gym. He's a gymnast. He wants to go to the gym and he wants to try out, I think it is, for a position on the team. And so he comes running up to the teacher and he says, "Can you make this quick?" And the teacher's like, "Okay." And he pushes him off of a bridge. And Dan Millman goes, "Ah, splash." And then he comes back up and he's yelling, you know, "What'd you do that for? Blah, blah, blah." And the teacher says, "What were you thinking about when you fell off the bridge?" He's like, "I don't know." And he says, "You weren't thinking about anything." He goes, "You even had a word for it. Ah." But what the teacher was saying is in that moment when you were falling from the bridge, you were fully in the moment without any chatter. You know, and this is why some people love like jumping out of airplanes or bungee jumping or some of these extreme sports. Is it the same thing? They actually get the joy of the self. They think it's the joy of jumping out of the airplane or the bungee cord or the extreme skiing, right? Or the motorcycle riding or whatever. But it's not. It's the joy of the self because the me chatter is not happening. They're completely in the moment. They're one with everything.
That seems to happen to me when I watch movies times. You know, when there's a gap in the movie or something like that, I just feel like I'm very, very present and there's a lot of clarity sometimes.
Well, in fact, I remember somewhere Eckhart Tolle said something about, you know, he doesn't think TV is the greatest thing in the world, but he said if there's an advantage to TV, it's that.
Yeah.
And it's that when you're giving your attention to the TV, you're not lost in that chatter. Yeah. So that may be why people love TV and why people become addicted to TV. What's really happening is they're getting a break from their own mental chatter.
Yeah.
But they're using a crutch, right? Mm-hmm. The TV is a crutch.
Right.
But it's taking a break from your mental chatter. You know, Michael Singer defines suffering as that chatter in the mind, listening to that chatter. That is suffering. So if listening to the chatter is suffering, then getting lost in a movie or in a good novel, you know, or in a tune in music where we're not listening to the chatter, that's a break. But of course those breaks are crutches, and as soon as we turn off the TV or whatever, it comes back again, right? But that's what's happening. We're taking a break. So, question for the inner teacher. Have you got any tips for helping us break the attachment to mind? I'm wondering if Regina Donakers was listening to the first 54 pages of this book while she was writing them down. What kind of a question is that? Boy, this girl, she's not very smart, is she? All right. Have you got any tips for helping us break the attachment to mind?
Go faster.
That is a really silly question. Oh, my goodness. Okay, answer. This is a work that must be done thoroughly and completely. So my recommendation is that you keep your attention patiently on the work. I can speak to you all through the day in every situation and tell you how to see and how to respond and how to stay with me if you consistently remember to break the attachment to mind. But as soon as you identify with mind as you, you block me. I cannot assist you unless you break the attachment to mind. This is the meaning and true purpose of surrender. What would you like to tell me now? Is another helpful question. When you invite me to speak, you put mind aside. This is breaking the attachment to mind. I can speak one line at a time throughout the day. You will not be able to write them all down, but one line at a time throughout the day is much more helpful to awakening than many lines in the morning, followed by consistent attachment to mind throughout the day.
That's great.
It is great, isn't it? You know? It seems like it has something to do with what I wrote this morning, too, although I don't think I have access to that right now. I might. I might have access to that right here. Let's have a peek and see if I do. Seems like I was doing the same kind of writing this morning in my contemplation time. Yes, here it is. All right. So here's what I wrote this morning. What do I see now as I look with the inner guru? I see the yellow brick road, one brick at a time. I know exactly where I need to place my foot now. Do I need to know anything else? No, just this. I only need to know where to place my foot now, and then I need to follow through by placing my foot there along with my heart. Can the yellow brick road be hard to find? Yes, if I forget where to look for it. If I forget to look within, I let go of my teacher's hand. I become lost in the woods, lost in an abundance of thoughts and confusion. If this happens, it need not be for long. Perfect guidance is always here, waiting for my attention to come within and light it up again. The key to peace is setting on your shoulders. So knock upon the door and you walk on in. You're just a child who has but to remember that in yourself you just found your best friend. And that last part that I just read is from a song called The Legend of Crazy Horse by J.D. Blackfoot, which was probably the first time I recognized truth. I was 18 years old and I was listening to this song and I heard these four lines. And I knew that I had just heard truth, like all the answers were within, the best friend was within. Many, many years before that, truth began to become manifest in my life. But what this writing that I did this morning and what this is saying now, I mean, listen to the first part of this writing. What do I see now as I look within with the inner guru? I see the yellow brick road, but one brick at a time. He's talking about one sentence at a time, right? You know, I know exactly where I need to place my foot now. Do I need to know anything else? No, just this. You know, so if we can just stay in communication with our inner intuition all day long, it will tell us whatever we need to know now. And we don't need to know anything else. You know, and if you think about it, that is so simple. Think about all that crap that we do carry around in our head as chatter. And you know it's suffering. And we don't need that. We only need what I need to know now. And, I mean, if you look at that crap isn't just about now. That crap's about the past. That crap's about the future. That crap's about some imaginary situation that's never even going to happen. All I need is that inner friend that is going to tell me what I need to know now, and I don't need to know anything else. In fact, a moment ago, I think the recorder was on. Maybe it wasn't. No, it wasn't on. I was trying to send you a link. And I forgot how to send an email for a moment, remember? And this kind of stuff happens to me all the time. And I said, oh, I said, there goes my brain again. You know, I forgot how to send an email. And I said, but I love that. And I, you know, most people don't love to watch their brain go blank. I love it. And the reason I love it is because I've never been left stranded there. And it makes me realize that what I need to know is always going to be provided. If I just pause when I forget how to send an email, instead of panicking, I just pause. In a moment, there it is. Tap this. Right? And then once you tap that, oh, look, there's a two line. Okay, I write a name here. Like one brick at a time. Do I really have to remember all the steps to how to send an email? No, because when I need to know how to send an email, it comes. And I can do it one step at a time. And before I know it, I've sent an email. I love that. I love knowing that I don't have to know. And I've never been stranded. So, I can speak one line at a time throughout the day. You will not be able to write them all down. Now, this desire to write them all down came from fear. You know, first of all, I was a scribe, so I was used to writing them down. But if he's going to speak to me all through the day, I wanted to write it all down because I was afraid I'd forget it. The point is, I don't have to remember it. Right? The point is, what I need to know now will be given now. I don't have to store all this stuff in my brain. I can speak one line at a time throughout the day. You will not be able to write them all down, but one line at a time throughout the day is much more helpful to awakening than many lines in the morning followed by consistent attachment to mind throughout the day. So here's my question. I started to have the thought that I am scared, I cannot do this. But then I questioned the I thought, and immediately the thought died. Answer. That is because you are aware that I is not your true heart. And when you are aware enough to question it, it must die. It dies in the light of true knowledge. Questioner. I feel it would be easier to do this work if I did not move from this seat. The place where I sit when I write with spirit. The inner teacher's response. What you are noticing is the need for discipline. In other words, when I got out of my seat and went on around the day, I just forgot all this stuff. I had no discipline. What you are noticing is the need for discipline. But if you desire it enough, discipline goes with you everywhere because you carry the desire for discipline within you. But if you want to spend more time sitting in this seat with me while you learn the practice of detaching from mind, you may do that. Whenever you are not called to be away from this seat, sit in this seat. It will be good practice for you. But when you are called away from the seat, get up from this seat and go, and take discipline with you. Having no real attachment to this seat is an important part of surrender. So it's interesting. Basically, what I'm being told is if there isn't something else that you have to do, you know, sure, sit here. You know, if you can sit here with me 5 hours a day, that's great. But Inner Ramana is saying, but you, a mother, you know, who has to cook and buy groceries and clean house, and you're not going to be able to sit here all day. Right? So when you can't, when you are called away, because you are going to be called away, take the discipline with you to practice surrender, mantra, and self-inquiry. That's why I am giving you these tools, because you are not one who is going to be able to sit in this seat all day, every day. You don't have that life. You're going to have to get out of the seat. And so I'm giving you tools that you can take with you when you get out of the seat. Comment from the questioner. You've asked us not to talk about or think about the self. Oops, I got interrupted. Look at the dot, dot, dot. Inner teacher interrupted me. I've asked you to question the I that is talking about or thinking about the self. When you are imagining that you know what abiding in self is, or when you imagine that you know what stillness is, or what surrender is, or what now is like, you block the experience of what it really is by judging it. Your expectations, which have come from your imagination, become criteria that you believe in, then you do not allow the experience to be, or do not let the guidance be, because you have already decided that it must be something else. I ask you to drop all expectations and let the guidance or experience of the current moment be what you are not told through thinking or imagining to expect. This is what I mean when I say listen only to me. I mean let go of attachment to the thinking and remembering and judging and imagining mind. You know, I listen to people all the time talk about enlightenment, and you know, they say, like right this second I'm having a hot flash, which is fine with me. But, you know, I'm certain there are people out there that think, you know, when you wake up, you won't have hot flashes anymore. I'm sure there are. You know, they think, right? You won't have headaches anymore. You won't, you know, you won't have all kinds of things anymore. Well, I don't know, but, you know, why, what, then what happens? You know, when you have a hot flash, then you have to judge yourself because you must not be there yet or whatever. You know, what if you do still have hot flashes? You know, I mean, these are the kinds of expectations we're being asked to let go of, because if you make up in your mind what enlightenment is supposed to look like, you will hold yourself back from enlightenment through your imagination. You know, Jesus, you know, some people think that if you're enlightened, everybody's going to like you. I've heard that from a lot of people, right? Did everybody like Jesus? No. No, as far as I can tell, they didn't. I mean, they put him on a cross and drove nails through his hands. I don't think that's how you treat people that you like, right? You know, so all of these things that we make up, this is what Inner Ramana is asking us to drop. We don't know what enlightenment is like. And then let's stay there. In that beautiful blank mind, right? That beautiful blank mind. Do not think about what I have just said. Do not even think about who has said it. To think is to believe that you are the I in thought, and that I separates itself from everything it defines and thinks about. And just think about that without thinking about it. If I think, who do I think I am? If I sit here and think about, okay, well, just what is this inner Ramana thing? You know, how did this happen? I wonder, blah, blah, blah. Who do I think I am as soon as I go into that thinking?
Mind.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so we want to learn how to not think. That's really what we want to learn. We want to learn how to just be. Talking still happens, right? Doing still happens. And this is what we'll learn. We'll learn that the yellow brick road is provided one brick at a time. We are moved along perfectly. We don't need the chatter, right? We just don't need it. The mind is always trying to not be here now. This is because I am here now. Truth is here now. That is also because the ego is dependent on script making for survival. Since the ego is not real, it must be made to be experienced. You make the ego through script making, through imagining, which is thinking about the past and the future and circumstances which are not real. So the ego only seems to be because of our interest in the chatter. Right? That's what this is really saying. Here and now, without thinking, is death to the ego, because it is not script making. It is script living, because the script is being experienced and you seem to live within it. But script living is not script making. So here and now is certain death or ending to the artificial I that is ego. So, you know, we're still script living when we're allowing ourselves to be given that one brick at a time, and we're walking down the yellow brick road one brick at a time. but we're not script making. And the script living is abiding as the self, trusting that everything you need to know, I think we're supposed to be done now, that everything you need to know will be given to you in the moment, right? So, we weren't given any new tools this week. We were asked to continue the surrender. Really, the surrender was emphasized. He didn't even mention the mantra, but we'll continue the mantra as well. But the main emphasis of this message was to let go of expectations. So what we could do this week is that when we notice that we have expectations, we could practice self-inquiry on the expectations. What is the I that expects this, right? And then move away from those expectations. And then again, continue with the mantra and continue with the surrender. And then next week, we'll look at how to awaken from the dream, part two. So how to awaken from the dream, part one, let go of expectations.